This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
Black holes, the cosmos, space and time travel, science and technology, brought to you by theoretical physicist, futurist, popularizer of science, and world-renowned author, Professor Michio Kaku,
and GCNLive.com.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. On Science Fantastic, we profile the amazing, jaw-dropping scientific discoveries which are revolutionizing our world and touching our lives. And in this hour, we're going to talk about robots. Are the robots coming for your job? What do we know and what don't we know about the field of artificial intelligence, especially as it impacts on the economy and the job market? Well, with us here today is Martin Ford, Silicon Valley entrepreneur and author of a New York Times bestseller, The Rise of the Robots, Technology and the Threat of a Jobless Future. Now, that's enough to make most people gulp at that thought, a jobless future. So what are the pros and cons? What are the debates? What are the talking points when we talk about artificial intelligence and how it's going to affect your job? And also, go to my website. It's mkaku.org, M-K-A-K-U.org. I've written 4 New York Times bestsellers. My latest is about the space program, the future of humanity. What happens when we go back to the moon, to Mars, and then perhaps to the nearest star, and perhaps after that, who knows, into the galaxy itself. So the future of humanity is my latest New York Times bestseller. Before that, it was the future of the mind, which hit number 1 on the New York Times bestseller list. Did you know that we physicists can now probe some of the deepest secrets of the living brain? Telepathy, telekinesis, recording thoughts, recording dreams. All of this was once considered preposterous and bordering on science fiction, but hey, we do it now. In fact, I visited the laboratories where we can actually begin the process of recording dreams. And then an earlier book, The Physics of the Impossible, talks about way in the future, maybe 500 plus years in the future, when we might even have time machines, teleportation. We might even have starships. All of that in my book, The Physics of the Impossible. Also, go to my website, mkaku.org, M-K-A-K-U.org, or to my Facebook site. We have 3 million fans on Facebook, and we have about 650,000 fans on Twitter. Okay, well, once again, with us today is Martin Ford, author of a controversial new book, which came out just a few years ago, called The Rise of the Robots, Technology and the Threat of a Jobless Future. People are talking about it now. In fact, we had that debate between Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg, billionaire against billionaire, with Elon Musk saying that the robots pose not just a threat for the job market, but an existential threat to the human race itself. That's the alarm bells raised by Elon Musk. And then we have Mark Zuckerberg of Facebook saying, ha, come on, give me a break. I mean, robots today have the intelligence of an insect, and they're going to revolutionize the economy. They're going to create jobs, economic opportunity, open up whole new areas of the economy that we haven't even worked out the details yet. So who's right, Musk or Zuckerberg? Well, anyway, with us today is Martin Ford, author of the book Rise of the Robots, Technology and the Threat of a Jobless Future. So, Martin, glad you could be on Science Fantastic.
Thanks for having me.
Well, first question for you is, you come from the business field. You have an MBA from UCLA. What got you interested in the whole question of robots?
Well, I actually ran a small software company that I started way back in the 1990s, and I saw even in my own small business the impact of technology on jobs and the way the business operated. I mean, used to my business started out developing software for Microsoft Windows, and as you remember, there was a time when that was a tangible product that was actually shipped on CD-ROMs, and in order to send that to the customer, you had to put it in a box and physically ship it there. And so there were jobs for people to do that kind of work in my business, and I actually outsourced some of that. But I saw how rapidly that all disappeared, basically, as software development and that business digitized in the same way that we've seen with e-books and with, you know, especially music and so forth. So I think that transformation really made it obvious to me that as we looked ahead to the future, there was going to be an even more dramatic transformation as artificial intelligence and robotics scaled across really the whole economy and began to really impact things that are not just in the digital sphere. So that's what first got me thinking about it. And back in the early, around 2009, I actually self-published my first book on this topic. So I've been thinking about it for about 10 years now.
Okay, well, you mentioned the music industry. That was one of the first industries to be digitized. Some of us remember the fact that the music industry said, ha, humbug. People will always buy music the old-fashioned way. Well, guess who controls the music industry? Computer companies like Apple Computers through iTunes controls the computer industry. And now media, right before our eyes, media is now being digitized, television, radio, the newspaper. Some people think the newspaper could become obsolete. So if music was digitized 10 years ago or so, if media is being digitized now, what's next? What's next in your crystal ball? What next industry will be digitized?
Well, I think it's clear that anything that's easily digitized, any business that, you know, deals purely in information, it's already happened, or I think the writing is on the wall. The transition that I saw was when it kind of moves beyond that, and that's where the idea of robots and artificial intelligence algorithms come in, because now you're talking about essentially having computers do things that are more in the tangible world that aren't digitized. So, for example, here in San Francisco, there's a startup company that's just released a robot to make hamburgers. And that's not an area that you would think would be subject to being digitalized, but it is clearly it's soon going to be an area where the work that goes into creating a hamburger can be automated using artificial intelligence and robotics. So that's the big thing I see as it scales out into the physical world, into self-driving cars, across virtually, you know, every industry that we can imagine. And that's what I think makes this such a big transition. It's something that's definitely not limited to one specific area.
Okay, well, years ago we had blacksmiths, and blacksmiths were the one of the foundations of early American society. We had wagon makers back then, and we don't have them anymore, but we don't cry about it either, because wagon makers and blacksmiths were replaced by automobile workers and industrial workers. Now, the next question is, what are the next industries to be replaced? Like being a blacksmith or a wagon maker, repetitive jobs, jobs that flipping hamburgers. What are the jobs that are on the chopping block, the cutting edge of digitization and robotization?
Right. I think the best answer to that is just to say that it's any kind of work that is fundamentally routine or really predictable is a better way to put it. The question is what you're doing in the job, in a sense, encapsulated in the data? So that if you can imagine a machine learning algorithm coming along and churning through all that data, will that algorithm be able to figure out how to do your job based on what's been done in the past? And, you know, there are a lot of jobs that would fall into that category. Many of them are what we would think of as blue-collar jobs, like working at McDonald's or maybe stocking the shelves at Walmart. But a great many of those jobs are also white-collar jobs that involve sitting in front of a computer, cranking out the same report again and again, doing the same kind of quantitative analysis again and again. And many of these jobs, you know, require university degrees, so they're not jobs that are limited to unskilled people. So it's a very broad based impact on all kinds of work. The fundamental criterion is it repetitive and routine and predictable?
Okay, well, we have to take a short commercial break, but after that, we're going to get right into the question of which jobs will survive, which jobs will flourish in the future. And if you want to get on Science Fantastic, give us a call. The hotline number is 612-564-8135, and ask that question, make that comment, and perhaps you can get on national radio. Give us a call.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. For your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
This is George Dory from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. The question we're going to ask today is your job going to be replaced by a robot? Or for that matter, my job? Will I be out of work replaced by a machine? With us today is Martin Ford, Silicon Valley entrepreneur, author of a New York Times bestseller, The Rise of the Robots, Technology, and the Threat of a Jobless Future. And he's coming out with a new book, Architects of Intelligence. And so we are talking about, well, the future of your job. And some people even think the future of humanity itself. Well, Martin, in the last segment, we talked about jobs that are on the chopping block, jobs that are repetitive. And in Japan, for example, you can go to a restaurant that's fully automated. The waiters take your order, which are robots. You simply punch in the menu, and the robot is a cook. The cook is a robot that can make noodles in 1 minute and 29 seconds. So those jobs are slowly going to go out the window. However, now let's take a look at jobs that are not so repetitive, like a plumber. Can a robot fix a broken toilet or a leaky valve? What about garbage men? Every garbage is different. How do you separate good garbage from bad garbage? Or for that matter, a gardener. Every plant is different. Or a construction worker. Every piece of a construction site of a skyscraper is different from every other piece. So what about jobs that require more sophisticated pattern recognition?
And it's definitely true that jobs like plumbers, electricians, what we would call skilled trade jobs, are probably among the safest, at least for the foreseeable future. And these are jobs that really require lots of dexterity and mobility and visual perception in a very unpredictable environment. And if you imagine a robot that could do what a plumber does, it would be something like C-3PO from Star Wars or something, clearly something that remains in the realm of science fiction. So one important thing to keep in mind is that no reasonable person is arguing that all the jobs are going to disappear. The argument that many of us are making is that a large fraction of jobs are going to be susceptible. And I think that one good estimate is that it's maybe half of the jobs out there that are fundamentally routine and repetitive and predictable. But certainly a skilled trade job, a nurse would be another good example of a kind of job where you really require lots of mobility and dexterity and problem solving and so forth. So those jobs are going to be safe for probably decades to come. On the other hand, some of the other things you mentioned, like a construction worker, it's true that right now, as things are configured, that's a job that is highly unpredictable, but you can easily imagine that changing. There are construction robots that use a very regimented way to build buildings. There's also 3D printing. So there could be new technologies coming into some of these areas that are actually going to transform, for example, the nature of how we do construction, and that may make it more susceptible to automation simply by getting rid of the unpredictable nature of the job.
And building on your points, DARPA, a branch of the Pentagon, which actually invented the Internet years ago, DARPA had a challenge. They challenged the leading artificial intelligence laboratories to create a robot that could fix the Fukushima nuclear disaster. That would be a showcase for artificial intelligence. All the robot had to do was pick up some garbage, drive a car, get out of the car, use a hammer, turn a valve. And the results were rather humorous. You can go to the web and actually see videos of the robots that were entered into this contest. The winner would have become internationally famous. But most of the robots simply fell over like a bug and couldn't even get back on their feet. It was embarrassing. So if you compare a robot today with an animal, wouldn't that animal be very close to like a cockroach or an insect compared to, for example, what a monkey could do?
Right. In fact, in terms of robotics that exist today, even a cockroach is certainly beyond what we're able to do in terms of actual mobility and dexterity and so forth. I mean, an insect is actually an extraordinarily advanced kind of robot, a biological robot, basically. So we're not. You can argue we're not even at that level. Having said that, though, I recall seeing those kind of silly videos of the robot falling down, trying to open the door and so forth. But you can go back to the early airplanes, for example, and find very similar videos on YouTube of pre-Wright brothers people trying to fly an airplane and watching it crash and so forth. So, I think the fact that we have failures at this point is certainly no indication that we're not eventually going to succeed. But building humanoid robots that can really do everything that people can do is something that, it tends to get a lot of attention because it's very visible. It's sexy in a way, but it's probably not the most important area of advance in robotics in the near future. I mean, that's going to take a long time before we can actually build humanoid robots that can replicate the kind of mobility and dexterity that people have.
Well, we talked about blue-collar jobs that are non-repetitive, requiring semi-skilled labor, and those jobs could actually survive into the future. But now let's talk about white-collar jobs that most people think are impervious to automation. If you go to a law firm, first of all, you have the paralegals who search through all the law books for precedences and type up all the memos and affidavits. Then you have the lawyers themselves who argue before a jury and a judge. So the question is, if I go to a law firm now, are they in danger of being automated? What are your thoughts?
Well, to some extent, that's happening already. And again, it's not going to happen across the board. It's not going to be full automation of everything that lawyers do for the foreseeable future, but certainly some parts of what they do are already being automated. For example, there are algorithms that do discovery. Discovery means you have to look at all the documents relative to a court case and figure out which ones you need to provide to the opposition side. And that used to be done manually. Now it's done by algorithms. There are very sophisticated algorithms that can analyze and even generate contracts that are used by lawyers. I think it's really easy to imagine, for example, legal research and writing briefs and things like that being largely automated in the future. We already see in journalism, for example, smart systems that can look at raw data and then turn that into a news story by figuring out what's interesting about that data and then generating a story that looks just like a human being wrote it. I think you could see something similar in the field of law in terms of researching, you know, precedents or case law and then automatically generating a legal brief and so forth. So, you know, there are many examples already, and that's certainly going to scale up in the future. There's going to be an even bigger impact.
Now, some people say that you need a lawyer to argue to a jury because, of course, the law guarantees trial by your peers. We're not judged by robots. We're judged by humans. And a human has to argue to another human trying to win the hearts and minds of the jurors over. And same thing with a judge, that you have to know the moral standards of society because laws change according to the mores of society. And some people say that in terms of human interactions, that lawyers that argue before juries and judges, their jobs cannot be replaced by robots. But what are your thoughts?
Well, you know, there's a technical question there. Can it physically be done? And I think in many cases it could be in terms of the technology. But of course, there's also what you might call a philosophical question or a value question. What do we really think about that? Is that acceptable to us to have machines playing those kinds of roles and, in fact, maybe making decisions? And this is something that comes up across the board in legal areas like this, also in military areas where you might have robots, you know, making life and death decisions and so forth. And the bias that most people have in this case is that they think it's really abnormal or disturbing to put a fundamentally human or legal question in the hands of a machine, and they think it would be better for a human being to always be doing that. And yet, you know, it may in many cases be the fact that the algorithm could be better. Just to give you one very famous example, there was a study done of judges in the United States, and what this study found was that if it was right before lunch when the judge was really hungry and you came before the judge, then you got a more harsh outcome than if you came before the judge after lunch when he was, you know, in a happier mood. So that kind of, you know, variance and you know, obviously that's not a good thing.
Okay, Martin, we have to take yet another short commercial break, but afterwards we're going to continue a discussion and we're going to get into the question of the singularity. What happens when the robots become smarter than us? Are they going to replace us? And once again, if you want to get on Science Fantastic and National Radio, give us a call. The hotline number is 612-564-8135 and ask that question, make that comment, and get on National Radio.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
You USA Radio News with John Hunt.
President Trump said he'll formally object to Congress's impeachment inquiry, even as he acknowledges the House Democrats have the votes to proceed. The White House was expected to send a letter to House Speaker Nancy Pelosi arguing that Congress cannot conduct an impeachment investigation without first having the vote to authorize it. The letter was expected to say the administration will not cooperate with the probe without that vote being done. Trump said the resolution would likely pass, but predicts it will backfire on the Democrats over this election season.
I do believe that because of what they're doing with Pelosi and their real leaders, AOC plus three, I really believe that they're going to pay a tremendous price at the polls.
When Pelosi announced that the White House was initiating the inquiry, she did not seek the consent of the full chamber, as was done for impeachment proceedings into former presidents Richard Nixon and Bill Clinton. This is USA Radio News.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS and you cannot afford to make payments to the IRS, you may qualify for the CNC tax program. This is a new program, and if you qualify, you won't make any payments to the IRS while in this program. Once you're accepted into this program, the IRS is forced to stop all harassing collection activities. No threatening phone calls, no wage garnishments, no bank levies, and no more monthly payments to the IRS. Get ready to write this number down. It's the most important number you'll ever need to end your IRS tax nightmare. Call Paramount Tax Relief at 800-547-4804 for a free confidential consultation to find out if you qualify for the CNC tax program. Once you are accepted into the CNC tax program, you won't make any payments to the IRS while in this program. Call Paramount Tax Relief now at 800-547-4804. That's 800-547-4804. Again, 800-547-4804.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. For your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Today with us is Martin Ford, author of the book The Rise of the Robots. And so we're going to try to answer the question, well, your job. Is your job on the chopping block? And what about humanity itself? Could one day a machine replace the human race if they become smarter than us? Well, before the break, we had a discussion about blue-collar jobs, some of which are still impervious to robots, jobs that involve non repetitive, semi-skilled work, for example, like a plumber. And we talked about now white-collar jobs, like, for example, paralegals that operate as a search engine or an advanced secretary to a lawyer. But, well, the law guarantees a trial by your peers, not by robots. And if it's a life and death matter, would you entrust your life to a robot to give arguments to a jury? Because, of course, lawyers are actors. They have to pull the heartstrings of the jury. They have to know the weaknesses, the prejudices, the foibles of humans. And only humans understand human behavior at that level. Life and death matters. So what are your thoughts about people who say that when it comes to the trial by jury system, that you need a human to pull the heartstrings of other humans?
Well, that's certainly true right now, but robots are getting a lot better, or I should say artificial intelligence is getting a lot better at understanding and exhibiting emotion. I mean, people are working on this. You know, there's a lot of research into this area, so I can certainly imagine a future when a robot might actually be better at influencing people or making an emotional plea to people than a human being would. That's not the case now, and I think that for the foreseeable future, it's not going to be the case, but certainly it's a possibility that's out there. So, you know, really nothing is off the table in terms of these technologies. You can never say never. What you can only say is that right now, or for, you know, the next few years, maybe the next decade, we can be relatively confident that human beings are going to remain dominant in this particular area. But in the longer run, anything is possible.
Okay, now let's talk about, well, my job. Let's talk about the teaching profession and also research scientists. First of all, Stanford and MIT put a lot of their courses on the web. A lot of poor students from Pakistan and India signed up for these courses in artificial intelligence and whatever. But the flunkout rate, the dropout rate in many of these e-courses was 90%. People logged in hoping to become the next genius of artificial intelligence, and there was no mentoring. There was no homework guidance. There was no career guidance. There was no peer pressure. And you were just by yourself in a small village in Pakistan online hoping to enter Silicon Valley. So some people think that the future of teaching is going to be mentoring. That is, only a mentor understands the weaknesses and strengths of the student up close, grading the homework assignments, giving career guidance, rather than e-courses, which will be standard. But e-courses can only give you certain amount of information, but the career guidance, the slap on the back, that personal information can only be done by a human. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think, again, for the near future at least, what you're saying is certainly true. I think that humans will play an important role there. But again, you can never say never. Definitely, there is already a lot of effort being put into building a customized experience into these online learning systems. So you might have something like a robotic teacher, basically an artificial intelligence algorithm that would be there alongside you as you study these courses, would give you customized feedback, would adjust the pace of learning to you so that you can learn in the best way possible, would help you recognize the challenges.
Okay, let's take another short commercial break, and after the break, we're going to continue a discussion of robots. What happens when they become as smart as us? Give us a call if you want to get on Science Fantastic. 612-564-8135 is the number to call.
With more people listening to radio than visit Google, Facebook, or YouTube, from the very young to the very old, everyone listens to radio. Pillow companies, alarm, identity theft, nutrition, insurance, banking, automotive, the list goes on and on. Billion-dollar businesses, why? The answer is radio, the media everyone tunes into. Find out how effective and affordable radio can be for your business. Contact 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Hey, Bugsy, you hear the news about Vinny?
Yeah, it's a real shame. He owed money to the IRS and they finally cut up with him.
Just like Al Capone.
If the IRS can get the Capone, imagine what they can do to little old Vinny, huh?
Poor cat, he was on top of the world. Then bada boom, bada bing.
What Vinny needs now is an offer he can't refuse.
Hey, you got a tax problem? Does the IRS claim you owe them a bunch of dough? They can get you, too. So call the Tax Relief Line now and learn if you qualify to negotiate your $10,000 plus IRS tax debt for up to a 75% savings. Don't be like Al or Vinny and get busted. Make this free call now. Learn how you may be able to pay the IRS less.
Call now. 800-590-4930. 800-590-4930, 800-590-4930, that's 800-590-4930.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Once again, our special guest today is Martin Ford, author of the book, The Rise of the Robots. And he's the author of a coming book called Architects of Intelligence. And The Rise of the Robots hit the New York Times bestseller list. And we're talking about, well, your job. We talked about some blue-collar jobs, many of which will be replaced if they're repetitive. But some jobs are very difficult to replace. That doesn't mean it's impossible. But they're difficult to replace because they're non-repetitive work. Like, for example, sanitation workers and plumbers. And then we have jobs that involve interacting with humans. Those jobs are very difficult to interface with robots, but, well, who knows, maybe sometime in the future we may have robots that can interface with the humans, tell jokes, BS, share gossip with us, but at the present, well, robots can't gossip with us. And then we talked about lawyers that argue a case, but let me talk about another area now, and that is common sense. We know that water is wet, not dry. Anyone knows that water is wet, but robots don't know that. We know that mothers are older than their daughters, not younger, but older. But doesn't have to be that way. We also know that strings can pull, strings cannot push. But sticks can push, but sticks cannot pull. We know that. But robots don't know that because they haven't been programmed to do that. Now, of course, in principle, you can program all the lines of common sense, but mathematicians have tried to do that and failed. Every single attempt to program all the laws of common sense that would give you the common sense of a 5-year-old child have failed. Now, that doesn't mean you can't do it, but it means that it's really hard. So would you trust a robot to make life and death decisions when they don't understand the simplest things about common sense? What are your thoughts?
Well, it,
You know, it's a good question. I think that in certain contexts, certain very limited contexts, that we will trust robots. And in fact, you know, there are probably examples where we do already. I mean, there are already automated systems, certainly, that we do rely on. The problem is when you get into really complex questions. And you hear this a lot, for example, in self-driving cars. There's something called the trolley problem, where basically what it means is the car has to decide who it should run over. It gets into some situation where it's unavoidable. It has to kill someone, and it has to, you know, make a decision there. You know, those questions are going to be extraordinarily rare, and we shouldn't lose sight of the fact that the overall technology is going to save huge numbers of lives. So there is a tendency to get caught up too much on some of those questions. But I think that the answer is that we should trust technology only in very limited domains, you know, to make very specific technical questions. At least for the foreseeable future. It obviously going to be a long time before we're willing to allow our machines to make ethical decisions or questions that really call upon our values and so forth.
Okay, now, here's a question that you often get, and that is, if a teenage kid comes up to you and says, what area should I major in, given the fact that you don't want to be in an area that's going to be automated, what advice do you give a young person?
The best advice I can give anyone is, again, avoid things that are routine and predictable. So don't prepare for a field that's like that. Instead, focus on something that requires genuine creativity, where you're thinking outside the box, coming up with new ideas. Or focus on an area that really requires sophisticated human interaction, where you're building relationships with people, maybe emotional relationships, maybe a need for empathy. Obviously, a lot of healthcare type roles would fall into this category. And then the third thing is what we talked about earlier, you know, the kinds of roles that really require lots of mobility and dexterity in unpredictable environments. And this would be a nurse or, as you said earlier, a plumber or an electrician, these kinds of jobs. These are the areas that I think are safest going forward. And I would encourage my kids to study for something that's going to prepare them for one of those types of careers.
Okay, now let's jump into the debate between Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg, two billionaires lined up on opposite sides. Elon Musk of SpaceX and Tesla Motors say that robots pose an existential threat, not just a threat in the job market, but an existential threat to humans. And Mark Zuckerberg says, nonsense. I mean, they're going to be a source of jobs and the economy. Well, let's take a short commercial break, but after the break, we're going to get right into the question of what happened if the robots become smarter than us. Are they a danger or are they a boom for the economy? And give us a call. 612-564-8135 is the number to call to get on Science Fantastic.
Everyone, Proactive MD has an incredible offer for our radio listeners only. Stay tuned for our exclusive offer that includes a free charcoal pore cleansing brush and free shipping. Proactive MD with prescription strength adapalene can heal and prevent future breakouts. Today, for just $19.95, we're offering listeners the three-piece Proactive MD system with free shipping, plus a free gift, the new charcoal pore cleansing brush. Get this exclusive offer by calling now, 1-800-583-8662, or go to proactive.com. And enter promo code radio. You heard right, Proactive MD, plus free shipping and a free gift, the new charcoal pore cleansing brush. You'll get all this for just $19.95 and their 60-day money-back guarantee. You're guaranteed to get clear and stay clear, or you get your money back. Call now, 1-800-583-8662. That's 1-800-583-8662. Or go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio. Again, go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio.
Do the letters I
IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Join me, George Norrie, at the Health Freedom Expo October 25th and 26th in Tinley Park near Chicago. The Health Freedom Expo is an incredible weekend exploring the latest in natural and alternative medicine with more than 100 lectures, workshops, and exhibits. Meet leading experts including Patch Adams, Lisa Oz, Ocean Robbins, Doc Wallach, Aaron Elizabeth, and so many more. Plus, I'll host a luncheon and discussion on natural healing breakthroughs. The Health Freedom Expo can help you learn to achieve a naturally vibrant and healthy life. Join us to explore how you can take your wellness into your own hands and meet others who are doing the same thing. Get your tickets today at TrinityHealthFreedomExpo.com. That's TrinityHealthFreedomExpo.com or call 1-888-658-3976. That's 1-888-658-3976. TrinityHealthExpo.com or 1-888-658-3976.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Once again, our special guest today is Martin Ford, Silicon Valley entrepreneur, author of the number one New York Times bestseller, The Rise of the Robots. And also, once again, go to my website to find out what I'm up to, mkaku.org, mkaku.org is the email address. I've written 4 New York Times bestsellers. The latest one is about the space program. What about the physics of one day going to the stars? The book is called The Future of Humanity, and just remember, the dinosaurs did not have a space program. That's why they're not here today. They didn't have a space program. When that meteor comet hit Mexico 65 million years ago, they were sitting ducks. Well, we do have a space program, and the question is, will we be able to evade the fate of the dinosaurs? Well, once again, today we have with us Martin Ford, author of the book, The Rise of the Robots, and the media was playing up the debate between 2 billionaires, Elon Musk, who says that robots pose a threat to our very existence, and Mark Zuckerberg, who says, bah, humbug. Robots are a source of jobs, new industries are going to be opened up because of robots. But, well, what are your thoughts?
This is really one of the biggest questions in artificial intelligence, and really there are two separate related questions. One is it feasible that we will eventually build a true thinking machine, something that can think in the way that human beings think? And then the second question is, if we achieve that, will it go beyond us and become super intelligent, and could that ultimately represent a threat to us? Is that something we really need to worry about? And you know, as you mentioned, I've been working on a new book that's going to release in the fall. The title is Architects of Intelligence. And basically, it's all about conversations with the most prominent AI researchers, the computer scientists that are most prominent in the world working on this, people that, you know, anyone working in AI recognizes their names. And my point in doing this was to sit down and talk to these people about a range of topics, and this is among the most important, to really learn what they think about this. And the answer is that there's a range of opinions, both in terms of when it could happen, when could we build a real truly intelligent machines. Some people I talk to think it might be 10 or 11 years away. Some people think it might be 200 years away. So there's a huge range of opinion, even among the most smartest people, about the feasibility of building true artificial intelligence. And then the next question is, if that happens, could that be a threat to us? And again, there's a lot of division over that. Some people completely dismiss that. They say it's silly to worry about that. Other people take the question quite seriously. My own view is that, you know, any true threat from artificial intelligence lies pretty far in the future, at a minimum 50, 100, maybe more years probably, although you can't say that for sure. And my concern is that worrying too much about that right now distracts us from the issues that we are likely to face in the next 10 years, say, and that is really about the impact on jobs. And it's really important to note that the impact on, you know, routine, predictable jobs does not require science fiction artificial intelligence. It's really just the kinds of technologies that exist already, and they're clearly going to get a lot better. So these questions are very provocative. I would not, you know, dismiss them. I think that it's good that Elon Musk, for example, has set up an organization called OpenAI, which is working on ways to make artificial intelligence safer. There are other organizations out there, small think tanks, that are also working on this problem. I think that's a good thing. But I'm not sure that this should be raised to the level of a major concern for society. We shouldn't have, you know, governments investing huge resources in worrying about truly advanced artificial intelligence that's going to take over at this point, because it's just far in the future, I think. And there are a lot more practical things that we should be focused on. And among the most important of those is the impact on jobs and the economy, and also on things like privacy and the fact that some systems have been shown to be biased and things like that. These are the practical things that we're going to need to worry about in the near future, and the threat of genuine super intelligence is much further out.
Okay, well, let me tell you my take on the whole question. I think the robots today have the intelligence of a cockroach, but I think in the coming decades they'll be as intelligent as a rat and a cat, dog, and by the end of the century they could be as intelligent as a monkey. Now, monkeys are self-aware. They know they are not human. Now, dogs, of course, are confused. They think that we're the top dog and they follow us, but monkeys know they are not humans. And by the time robots become as smart as robots by the end of the century, they could be dangerous with self-awareness. At that point, I think we should put a chip in their brain to shut them off if they have murderous thoughts. But that's only short-term measure. Eventually, the robots could become so smart, they'll know how to neutralize that fail-safe system. At that point, now this is a problem, I think, for the next century. It's not even a problem for this century at all. But in the next century, I think at that point, maybe we should merge with them. Why bother to compete with something when it's inevitable that they're going to become very intelligent? Why not become supermen, superwomen? Why not have immortal bodies? Why not have either a biological or digital immortality? Now, immortality, of course, is something that is far beyond anything that we can do with the present-day technology. But, you know, 100 years from now, it's conceivable that we may have some form of digital and biological immortality. And that could be the ultimate merger, the ultimate answer to the question of what happens when robots become smarter than us. But, well, what are your thoughts?
Well, I think what you say is quite possible. The time frame, of course, is very, very uncertain. Maybe you're right. It's 100 years. One of the people I talked to for my new book, Architects of Intelligence, is Ray Kurzweil, who, as you know, is a big proponent of this idea of merging with machines. But I think his time frame
Okay, Martin. Unfortunately, we have run out of time in this segment, and Ray Kurzweil was also a guest on Science Fantastic. Once again, a special guest today was Martin Ford, author of the book Rise of the Robots, and he's the author of a forthcoming book, Architects of Intelligence. And if you want to find out more about Science Fantastic, go to my website, mkaku.org, mkaku.org, or go to my Facebook site, Michio Kaku. We have 3 million fans on Facebook. And once again, if you want to get on Science Fantastic, give us a call. The hotline number is 612-564-8135, and ask that question. Make that comment about science that always been bothering you, and you can get on national radio.
What if people always acted the same way they do when they're driving their cars?
Good morning, Mrs. Blanchard. How may I help you?
I'd like to cash this check.
Sure.
I'll just get my pen
Come
here.
Come on, lady. Get a move on.
Goodness.
Where'd you learn to bank anyway?
Ooh.
Whoa. Don't you give me that look.
It sure wouldn't be a very friendly place.
What kind of candy do you want, sweetie?
This. No, this.
Pick something already. Come on, honey. We're holding people up. How about this kind?
No.
What is the matter with you people? If you're not going to do something, I am. Get out of my way.
Every day, drivers and their families all across the country are killed on the roadways because of road rage.
Wasn't it a beautiful wedding?
Oh, yes, Mimi. Such a lovely couple.
Excuse me, is this the receiving line?
Yes, it is.
Hey, he cut in line.
I'm a friend of the bride. Do you know the
group? Hey, now, you cut in line.
Buzz off.
Oh, yeah?
Hey, hit that nice man.
That'll teach you to cut in line, you jerk.
Stop this senselessness of road rage. It's time we all drive with the same courtesy we extend to people in the rest of our lives. A message from the AAA Foundation for Traffic Safety.